Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find out what matters to you, so you can do more of it. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Analytics, data, numbers, evidence, etc. Evan Miyakawa, 365 Sports, joins us, and Evan can put all these numbers, crunch them into a whatever, and it spits out what might happen. It's amazing to me. Evan, thanks for your time with Paul Craig and Smokey. It's amazing to me. You have data, evidence, facts, whatever, and then you spit out who might, in the latest, algorithm, if that's the right word, may win it, and everybody goes, well, wait a minute, that can't be true. How much fun do you have doing what you're doing right now?
Yeah, so what you're referring to is bracket simulations that I have on my website, which basically takes the latest information on where teams are likely to be on Selection Sunday. Obviously, a lot is going to change in the next several days, but kind of places them, you know, roughly where they might be expected to be in the bracket, and then using data on how good each team is, simulates possible outcomes that the tournament could have. So this isn't necessarily predicting how a tournament is going to go. It's more saying this is just as likely an outcome as something else. And so, you know, a lot of times I like to, you can simulate these on my website. I put some of them on Twitter, and they often look pretty crazy. But then when you look at previous tournaments and how they've actually gone, last year, you know, we had Florida Atlantic and San Diego State and Miami in a Final Four. So a lot of these simulations kind of look tame in comparison.
Hey, I just ran one and Alabama's winning it all. So if you're a Tide fan,
roll Tide.
Roll internet on that.
And they'll average 103 points a game in the tournament. Yeah,
absolutely. But Evan, have you seen anything yet that's a potential shakeup in the brackets that has happened so far in conference tournaments?
I think something that in particular to the Big 12 that I'm fascinated by is Kansas and their injury situation. I mean, we always regard Kansas as being, coached by arguably the best coach in the game, and their success, their identity is in March tournament success. And so Bill Self has made a decision to rest Kevin McCullough and Hunter Dickinson, who are dealing with injuries, just not play them in the Big 12 tournament. And so that it can be healthy next week. And what that has meant is that not only, you know, they're playing tonight against Cincinnati, not only are they going to be predicted to lose that game by a couple points because of those injuries, but that also potentially it just makes a lot of things unclear in terms of next week. If they lose this game tonight, will that impact their seed? But hopefully leading to a more healthy roster for them. So I'm just fascinated by this situation and curious to see how it goes for them.
Evan, is Oklahoma in?
That is a good question. If I'm just kind of pulling up the latest stuff here, I think they're pretty comfortably in right now. consensus is kind of around a 9 seed. Obviously, losing a game in the tournament could hurt them against TCU, but the Big 12 is so strong that I don't necessarily think that, you know, them losing in the Big 12 tournament is going to knock them out of the tournament picture. So I think they're comfortably in at this point.
Evan Miyakawa with us. Again, it's EVANMIYA.com. It's great just to go in as Paul just did and ran himself a simulator.
Yeah, absolutely. That did take seconds, mere seconds, to find out countless data points on his website. Evan, for Baylor and what they've got going, if they get to the championship game, do they move up a line or do they have to win it?
I think if they make it to the championship game, they would be in serious consideration to move from the 3 line to the 2 line, you know, kind of based on how some things play. They're going to be playing the winner of Kansas-Cincinnati tonight, and then potentially you've got Iowa State in the semifinal. That would be a huge win if they were able to get that. Iowa State right now is probably considered to be the last 2 seed. And so if Baylor were to beat Iowa State, I think that would probably carry some weight for the selection committee to potentially have Baylor jump Iowa State. So obviously a lot of it depends on the other teams kind of around them and how they perform the next several days. But I think even if Baylor were to lose to Houston in the title game, for example, I think that still might be enough to get them to a 2 seed line.
Evan, take us into the relative rating on those Houston Cougars, fresh off the Big 12 regular season title. We'll see what damage they do in the tourney, but I know you had a post on them a couple days back. What did the formulas and your metrics say about Houston and their relative rating?
So basically, kind of the summary on Houston is that they are better than any other team in the country, arguably, at, you know, beating up on teams that they should be favored against. So, you know, against bottom half Big 12 teams and the like, I don't think you could trust another team in the country to handle business. But the statistical models do point to the fact that they are slightly weaker against elite teams. Now, that still means that they are one of the teams with the most likely chance of winning the national title. But compared to some other websites that you'll see out there that rate teams, I do have the number one, and that is because I would project them right now to lose slightly to teams like UConn and Purdue. So I have them number 3. Now, I still think that means they are one of the strongest teams in the country. They're arguably the most likely team to get to the Sweet 16 or Elite 8, potentially, just because of how good they are at not losing games that they should win. But when you're talking about the latter half of the tournament, when you're getting up against top 4 seeds, top 3 seeds, you know, there's still a little bit to be desired there, and the data suggests that that could be a weak point for them. So we'll see how they go. But I'm still definitely very I still would like to trust Houston in this tournament. Obviously, Kelvin Sampson's a great coach. He's taken them to the Final Four in recent memory before. This definitely doesn't mean doom for them in any means, but you know, still work to be done in proving themselves against the cream of the crop.
Evan, is there a chance to see which of the 8 or 9 teams in the Big 12 make it are the most erratic, that your algorithm could say there may be even a Sweet 16 or Elite 8? But a lot of them also say they could be down and done by the end of the first weekend. For example, BYU looks, they're playing really well. They're not going to be way up, but they're really playing well. Even the teams that have been up and down, whether it's Tech or Baylor, et cetera, is there somebody that is more erratic looking than others?
So one team I would point, and you mentioned them before, is Oklahoma. And the reason I point them out is that when you look on their team summary on my website, they are one of the most volatile teams from game to game. What that means is they're in the top 15 teams in the country or so at having kind of inconsistent game performances from game to game. So that means you could get a really strong Oklahoma one night and a really weak Oklahoma the next. And what that means is, you know, they're going to be kind of hovering around that, you know, 9 line right now. So if they were to win their first game, that means that they potentially have a better chance of beating a 1 seed in their second game than other 8 or 9 seeds would, because they're just kind of more volatile from game to game. So that could work in their favor in this instance, where they could be more likely to have a great performance against another good team. But that also does mean that they could put up a stinker in their first game. So, you know, really anything could happen with them.
Evan Miyakawa with us again. Go to Evan, M-I-Y-A, and he will, you can just dial it up, and amazing sometimes what can change in just one click of the button compared to the next simulator.
All right, Evan, 4 number 1 seeds right now.
We lose him?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I wasn't sure if you had a question to follow that up. Are you just asking me who's on the one
who
line?
Who are they right now? Yeah.
Okay, so Purdue, UConn, and Houston are comfortably on the one line. And really, it's down to, I would argue at this point, just Tennessee and North Carolina, realistically, to get that final one seed spot. Arizona was in contention, but they lost to USC this weekend. Marquette could be in the conversation, but Tyler Kolek is not healthy right now, so that doesn't bode well for their Big East tournament chances. I guess theoretically, if Iowa State were to win the Big 12 tournament and beat, you know, Baylor and Houston in route, I guess you could have a case if Tennessee or North Carolina don't perform well in their tournaments. But I really think it comes down to Tennessee and North Carolina, and right now I would give the edge to Tennessee to be on the one line as things stand right now.
Thank you, Evan. You are growing into people love you and hate you based on just a simulator. I love it. It's great. And the fact that you're out there and so many people know about what you do, that's wonderful. We were there on the ground floor. Don't ever forget us.
Absolutely not.
That's Evan Miyakawa. EvanMiya.com. I'm on the, and it's M-I-Y-A. I'm on the site right now. Kyle Visser, I think, just asked about it. And there you go. EvanMiya.com.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.